All right, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that we can come together and learn from your word. I thank you, Lord, that we can come with hearts of expectancy, Lord, today, ready to receive from your word. In your name I pray. I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint my lips as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, today I've been praying about what to talk about and what the Lord wanted me to say, and he kept telling me not to write anything down yet, and I was like, well, I want to. He's like, not yet, and so finally this morning, he's like, all right, now you can write something down, and I was like, thank you, it's about time. I was getting a little worried there, we're going to have to wait. So thank the Lord that he released me, and he let me prepare in advance. But today, this is what he's been speaking to me about, and this is what he wanted me to talk about. He wanted me to talk today about vision. And actually, Ms. Cherish had talked about this last week. Vision, not so much just like your vision for this year or for this month or for this week, but the vision that you have for today. The vision that you have for today. And the vision you have for today is what will give life for your hope tomorrow. If you want to have hope tomorrow, to give life to that hope, to that vision for tomorrow, you have to have that vision, that goals for today. And the question that he wanted me to ask is, what are you doing today to draw closer to him? What are you doing today to draw closer to him? Now, obviously, today is Sunday, and if you're here listening to this, then you have a good excuse or a good thing to tell yourself. Well, today I'm here at church in discipleship, and that's what I'm doing today, listening with the heart of expectancy, giving my full attention to that, to grow in him. But what about yesterday? What if you asked yourself that question yesterday? What am I doing today to draw closer to God? Am I putting him first today in everything that I do? Not just in the morning and during my devotion time, or in the evening during my devotion time. How about right now in this moment? Am I putting him first? Is he on the front lids of my eyes? Is his word always on my lips? Am I always thinking about him and how I can bring honor to him in this situation? Is that what's on my mind, or is it something else? So he wanted, if you honestly get before him and ask that question, what am I doing today to draw closer to you, God? That's what he wants us to think about. What are we doing today to draw closer to him? And then once you ask that question, you go, okay, this is what I've been doing today, draw close to God. Am I actually doing that? You know, he wants me to do this. This is what he wants me to do to draw closer to him. But am I actually doing what he told me to do? Am I actually doing what he said? A good way to gauge this is to ask yourself, when the last time is that you spoke with God? You know, when's the last time you spoke with God? Now, for most of us, you go, okay, what's it mean to speak with God? Well, when you pray, how many of you here believe that you're speaking with God? Amen? Amen? Is that everyone? Okay, because when you pray, if you're not talking to God, then you're talking to yourself. And just frankly, me talking to myself about my own problems usually doesn't do anything about them, right? So when we pray, we are talking to God. So you ask yourself, well, when's the last time that I spoke to God? But more importantly, you need to ask yourself this. When was the last time that he spoke to me? Not so much me talking to God, but how about when I listened to his voice and he spoke to me? What's the last thing that he told me? When was the last time that he dropped a word down in my heart, that he revealed his word and it became alive to me? So when was the last time that God spoke to me? You know, if you think about it, we have a relationship with Christ. Amen? Amen. So you're a Christian, you have a relationship with God. Now, let's say I have a relationship, a friendship with Peter, okay? Let's just say Peter accepted me as a friend. That's far out and crazy, but let's say that happened. And in order to be a friend with Peter, you would have to talk to Peter. But if I came up to Peter and I was like, hi, Peter, how are you doing today? I need this, 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 and this. Bye, Peter. And I ran off. Me and Peter probably would not be very good friends. No? Maybe if I listened to Peter once a week, I go, Peter, this is your hour once a week here during worship, and I'm going to listen to you, and then the rest of the week, I'm talking to you, and you better listen, okay? Because I'm not listening. me and Peter probably wouldn't be very good friends. So in order to nurture a relationship, in order to have that relationship with God, we have to listen to his voice. We have to be ready and willing to listen to his voice and also be seeking to hear his voice in everything that we do. We have to be actively seeking his wisdom and his guidance in the different things we do. If you want to have a close relationship with someone, you have to speak with that person. You have to communicate with them in order to draw in a closer relationship with them. Does that make sense to everyone? If it does, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So, to develop your walk with God, it's imperative that you don't only read your Bible and pray, but that you also talk to God and you listen to him. So, like I said, it's what Ms. Cherish talked about last week. God is always ready to talk, but we must be ready to listen. He's not going to force it on you. He's not going to interrupt you. He's not going to, you know, stop everything that you're doing and force this down your throat. He is talking. It's a still, small voice, and he's speaking to you. But the question is, are you listening? It's kind of like receiving your healing. It's already there, but are you there? God has already done it 2,000 years ago. He's provided it for you, but are you in a place where you can receive that? In the same way, God is already speaking to you, but are you in a place where you can hear him? Are you in a place where you can pick that up? In the same way, if you look at your cell phone, depending on what kind of coverage you got, sometimes when you go in a basement, you lose your signal. Has anyone ever lost a call? You go in a basement, you lose a call. It's really annoying, especially at school. I have a lot of classes in the basement. You go down there, and guess what? You start losing calls, and it's like, darn it, I was talking to that person, and now it's dropped, and now you're not talking to that person. Your connection has been severed off. You can no longer communicate with that person because there's something interrupting your signal. In the same way with God, he's not going to force it on you. You have to be in a position, in a place. You can't be down in the basement. You have to be in a place where you can hear from him, where you can pick up that signal. You have to have your spiritual antenna up. Spiritually, you have to be ready to receive that signal, and you can't be down in the basement waiting for him to speak because you're never going to get it down in the basement because you don't got any reception. Does that make sense? All right. So when we listen to God, we have to be in a position to receive it. Now, what is a position where you can receive, where you can hear from God? You have to stop, you have to ask, and you have to listen. Those three things. You have to stop, ask, and listen. Just like as if you're talking to someone else. Let's say you're working on a project with Uncle Mike, and he's the expert. He knows all about this. He is the man to go to on this project, home theater installations. And you have a question. You're working with him. You're doing this stuff. And he's just standing there. And he's like, I'm here if you need any help. Well, in order to get any help from him, you have to stop what you're doing, ask, and then you can't run off. You have to stay there and listen. Okay? So in order to receive a word from the Lord, we have to stop what we're doing, ask him, and listen, it's very simple, just like you would with anything else. You have to stop, ask, and listen. And sometimes when you listen, it's not just like, boom, immediately, there it is. Sometimes you have to just be still and be quiet because you got all these thoughts racing through your head and you got to get all that out of the way. You know, stop thinking about the phone that's ringing, the kids are screaming and tearing the drywall off the walls. Don't worry about that. You can patch it later. You have to stop and you have to listen to the voice of God. So in order to hear from God, we have to stop, ask, and listen. What if you go, Luke, I'm not hearing from God. You know, I pray and I, you know, will sit down and I don't hear from him. I just don't hear from God. What do you do? Well, if you haven't heard from God, maybe it's because we're not asking God. What do we want to hear for? Maybe we're only asking him the things that we want to hear for. You know, maybe we're not ready to receive the answer with an open heart. Like, let's say you ask God, God, can I do this? And he says, no. And you ask him again, God, can I do this? And he says, no. And you go, I haven't heard from God yet. I don't understand. Just like if you ask your parents, you know, ever have a kid who goes, you know, can I do this? And they say no. Can I do this? No. And they keep asking it over and over and over again, the same question. Yeah, it's the same way. God's answer is not going to change just because you asked the second or third time. It's still the same. So if you don't think you're hearing from God, it may be because he's not giving you the answer that you wanted to hear. And also, it may be because you're not asking him, you know, the question. Let's say you just go before God and you get quiet, but if you don't ask him anything, you know, he may not tell you anything. If you go, Lord, is there anything you want to tell me? And you ask him, Lord, is there anything you want to tell me right now that will, you know, help me pursue, bring glory to your kingdom? That will help me pursue your kingdom? Is there anything that I need to change in me so that I can seek your kingdom, you know, and bring more glory to your name? And you sit down, you get before God, and you get quiet. You stop, and you listen, and you ask that question. And then the Lord, he'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. It's not a booming, audible voice, usually. It's just a still, quiet voice, a knowing from deep inside that comes up, and you hear his voice, and he speaks to you. And he tells you what it is that he wants to talk to you about. So he's like your father. You know, it's just like going to your father, your parents, and you ask them a question. It's the same way. You know, if you're not getting the answer you wanted to get, it may be because the answer you wanted to get is not what's best for you. It's not what's best for you, even though you can't see it. You know, we're here at Halloween. There's usually a lot of candy floating around at this time of year. And you may be asking for another piece of chocolate, and they keep saying no, and you're like, but why not? Chocolate's good, right? I mean, come on. What could possibly be wrong with this? It's very sweet. It tastes very good. But they keep saying no. And the reason is because even though you may not be able to see it, I'm sorry, kids, but even though you may not be able to see it, that may not be the best thing for you right now because you've already had five pieces. So in the same way, when we ask God for something, if he says no, we have to be willing and ready to accept that. And you have to keep your ears open and your heart honest before God to hear his voice and to hear what he says. And you can't blind yourself by going in and asking the question with a preconceived answer in your mind. This is what the answer should be. And you go and ask God and you hear yourself say that answer. And then you're like, good. And you go do it. And then it doesn't work. And you're like, God, why didn't that work? You told me to do it. Well, it's because you put that answer in your own head and you didn't wait till it gave a peace. So you got a peace in your spirit about it. You can tell when God speaks to you because you'll have a peace in your spirit about it when God speaks to you. So if you don't hear from God, ask him. Ask him to speak to you. So if you remember what we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the talents. Does anyone remember that? We talked about the parable of the talents. And what did we learn from the parable of the talents? That you have to use the revelation that God gives you. That you can't just keep it all to yourself or you can't just do nothing with it, but you actually have to use it. That he gave it to you for a purpose. And that if you don't use it, you will lose it. And it will be taken away from you and given to someone else. Because that's how the kingdom of God works, is that he's interested in furthering his kingdom. So in order to do that, he gives it to the person who's going to use his resources. So you have to show yourself faithful with what he gives you and give it to others and use and do what he says. So as Christians, we are to be like a river, not a pond or a swamp, but a river. And if you think about a river, it's actually an amazing phenomenon. Because if you look at Niagara Falls and you look at all the water that comes off that river and then goes over that waterfall, and all that water, you go, that's a lot of water. But as much water as falls from that waterfall, as that river gives up, all that water that it gives up, it's never out. It's always at the same level. It never gets depleted. It never runs dry. No matter how much water it gives away, it always has more. And that's amazing. No matter how much it gives away, it always has more. If the river continues to flow, it never decreases. It is always the same. So as Christians, we are to be like a river. In order to be filled up by God, we are to give out. And you may go, well, this doesn't make any sense. I got this revelation, and you're telling me you want me to give it away, but I only got a little bit. If I give this away, then I'm not going to have any. But he's saying, give it away, and I'll give you more. So there's faith that comes into play here. If you give away what you have to believe that he's going to be faithful and give you more. Amen? Amen. So you have to give it out, and you have to give what he's been pouring into you. So if you're like a pond, if anyone's ever been on a pond, you know that ponds can get stagnant. They can get moss growing on the top and cattails and other weird stuff floating around in there. Sometimes they get mosquitoes that, you know, like to make their nests in there. And that stuff's gross. And you don't want that in your life. And no one wants you to give that out to them, because everyone else goes, well, what I got's just the same as what you've got. You don't have anything good. But the river, when it flows a fresh stream. And there's no moss and algae growing in it, because it's fresh. It's constantly moving. So it doesn't get stagnant. So you can't remain stagnant in the Word of God. You have to continue to give it out and to give it out. And if you continue to give it out, God will continue to fill you up. It'll continue to fill you up. It's a continual process. You are to be a flowing river, not a stagnant pond. So if you turn with me to James chapter 1, we'll take a look here at doing the Word. And I'm sure you're all very familiar with this passage, or have at least heard it once or twice before. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. And in James chapter 1, it says, verse 22, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks at the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Hallelujah. Do you want to be blessed in your deed? Do you want God's hand of blessing to be on what you do? Amen. You better believe you want God's blessing beyond what you do, because I know in myself I can do nothing, and I am nothing, and I have nothing in myself. So I need God's blessing to multiply the nothingness over here. Now, being an engineer and knowing a lot about math, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's a supernatural thing. It's by faith, because God can multiply what I don't have. So I need his blessing. But in order to get that blessing, what's it say here? I need to look at the perfect law of liberty, and, it means I have to do them both, continue therein. So, what's that mean? I have to do what he says. So not only do I have to stop, listen, and hear, but I also have to do. The final step to the three is doing. Because if you don't do what he told you about before, he's not going to give you anything new. Just like if you go to work and your boss gives you an assignment. I want you to go do this. Well, you come back and you go, what do you want me to do now? Well, did you do that? No. Well, I want you to go do that, what I told you to do before. So in the same way, if you want to get something new revelation in God's word, to understand something that you've studied before in a new light, you have to do what he already told you to do before. I've prayed before, you know, and sought God for a fresh and a new word, you know, and I was praying, like, Lord, I want to get something new that I've never seen before, something, you know, real exciting. And I was surprised by the response I got. He goes, well, did you do this other thing? Well, that was what he'd been talking to me about before. It's like, well, no, I haven't done that yet, but I would like to get something new. And he's like, Luke, he goes, I can't give you anything new till you do something with what I already gave you. I can't give you anything new till you do something with what I've already given you. You have to be faithful in what he's already given you in order for him to give you something else. You can't wait around for some big, like, kumbaya, for your ships to come in. And you're like, oh, one of these days, I'm going to, you know, share the gospel with millions of people. But if you don't do anything and share the gospel with people now, you're not going to get the revelation. That's never going to come around. The ships are never going to come in unless you're sending them out. So unless you send them out, they're never going to come back. So in order to get the fresh new word from God, you have to use what he's already given you. So if you've got tools in the toolbox, use them. So to sum it up, we have to seek God, we have to stop, we have to listen, ask him, and then do what he says to do. This is how we pursue his vision for our lives every single day. Amen? Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, that we can come together and learn from your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we go out this week to listen to your voice and to do what you called us to do. In your name I pray. Amen.